meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon, listeners, and we are welcoming you today. Usually, it is our privilege, Mary Fiorito and mine, to fill in for Father Anthony. However, Mary is out of town on a speaking engagement, and so it'll be just me. I'm Loretta Freilich, former criminal prosecutor for the Cook County State's Attorney, and it is my privilege to be on these radio airwaves. I was so excited this morning as I'm driving downtown. The sun came out. I had to put my sunnies on. And so here I am driving downtown with my sunglasses, and I'm thinking, the reason I'm so happy is because the sun is out, except our guest today is going to be talking to us about one of my favorite people, Fulton Sheehan. And it is my privilege to welcome Dr. Peter Howard. Welcome, Dr. Howard. Dr. Peter Howard, you're going to learn, earned his doctorate in sacred theology from the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas, known as Angelicum, in Rome, Italy. And he is the founder and president of the Fulton Sheehan Institute and the Fulton Sheehan Movement. He is a renowned international Catholic speaker and a scholar on the venerable Fulton J. Sheehan, author, professor, theologian, Marianologist, Catholic entrepreneur, and founder of Heroic Families. And he's also the father of a beautiful Catholic family. Welcome, Dr. Howard.
Yes, I am here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Well, welcome welcome to the program. I took a step back, and I am so excited you are with us today. Can you tell me about yourself?
Sure. Well, first off, I feel a little pressured having a former criminal prosecutor now asking me questions for a whole hour.
You're going to admit to any crimes?
Well, not my crimes, maybe some other ones involved, but against Fulton Sheehan. But
I don't know that he committed any.
No, against him.
Right. Yes. But, do not fear. Do not fear. That is a career that truly trained me for radio interviews, but it certainly did not. It's nothing I brought with me.
No, it's great to be on your show, Loretta. Thank you. Let's see. I live in northern Idaho right now with my family. Married to my beautiful wife, Chantal. I have a total of 6 children. And we spend so much of our time with a great passion for Fulton Sheehan, both especially my wife and I, communicating with people all around the world. We founded the Fulton Sheehan Movement back last spring that has a big petition drive attached to it to really get his beatification mass back on track.
Sure.
Not in the distant future, but immediate. But as you mentioned in your intro, my whole passion really has been serving the church. I have a great love for our Blessed Mother. As a Mariologist, I love speaking about Mary and the importance that Mary has right now in these critical times, as well as Fulton Sheehan, who I really think is perhaps the biggest figure that we in the Church of the United States should be looking to right now as an answer to pretty much every single crisis that we're facing.
So wow.
That takes most of my time.
Well, how did you become involved with Fulton Sheehan? How did you find Fulton Sheehan?
Well, I was taking a personal retreat back in 1998. So it was, 26 years ago. I really feel old now. Let's see. I was taking a retreat. I was living in Texas at the time. And I was really trying to figure out God's path for me. I mean, I've been doing that for many years. I was discerning, you want me to be a priest? I love the church. And But I needed to get away. And my sister, on my way out, had a 3.5-hour drive from Dallas out to East Texas. And she said, why don't you consider these cassette tapes of Fulton Sheehan, of a retreat that he gave to priests. And our pastor was actually at this retreat, and it changed his life. And he actually just recently died before then. And I was like, wow, that's pretty powerful if it really formed everything that he was. I said, well, I'll give him a shot. I didn't really know anything about Fulton Sheehan. I heard his name mentioned a few times, even when I was studying at Steubenville, hardly ever mentioned in any real capacity. And so I was like, I'll give it a shot. You know, I got nothing to lose. And so I did. Within the first few minutes of that retreat, I was completely hooked. And I just sat there listening to, like, cassette tape after cassette tape. I mean, you know, people remember what those are. And, you know, like 25, 30 minute talks. And I was literally captivated. Like, I felt like I could not leave. Like, he was in the car with me. It was a remastered series, so it didn't have the old hissing sounds, and it was crystal clear, and it was as if he was, I mean, clearer than our conversation is right now. It was
wow.
Like he's sitting next to me, and I knew that from that moment onward that this man was going to be hugely influential in everything I did as a Catholic, but more importantly to who I was and what my formation was going to be from that point forward. And it just evolved over time. Every time I went over to overseas in Rome to study for my theology degrees, and every chance I had, I would try to focus on something on Sheehan. And then eventually I was very blessed to be able to do my doctorate on Fulton Sheehan because at that time his cause for canonization had just been underway as a servant of God. So I spent the last 20 years just realizing how few people really know him well and understand what his great significance is, other than the fact of everybody loves him when they listen to him, but he is made for right now, more than 1970, 1960, his you know, his peak in the 1950s. He is more needed now than ever, and that's why this has evolved into a movement for his beatification too, because people have to know why.
Now, in the few minutes that you have been on the program, you have mentioned that Fulton Sheehan is a man for our times more than once. Why is that?
Because, well, one, he was a holy man, and he was a brilliant man as well. He constantly, from his earliest days, he was ordained a priest in 1919, and he was obsessed. He's like, even then, he says the world is approaching an end of an era. You know, it's about 80 to 100 years ago, and nobody saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw all of the philosophies that that were coming, especially into the West, that we were welcoming. Even in the midst of World War One, World War Two, he saw that these things were going to be great dangers, despite winning a war in a military way. Military way.
Mm-hmm.
They said the ideologies that are going to remain, if America does not really radically return itself to God, these things will come over and take over the West. He's talking about Marxism, communism, and here we are today, and we have the full culmination of Marxism, which would be the woke movement. Everything that it actually represents is cultural Marxism. It is atheistic. Well, I should say it's anti-God. Marx wasn't really an atheist. He just hated God. He shook his fist at God.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, everything that he was applying his dialectical philosophy to was to completely neutralize and relativize all morality. But his ultimate end game was the destruction of marriage, and the family. And even the gender difference itself, all of those things had to be eradicated. And here we are. And because people didn't listen, and even the Sheen, when he was warning and warning and warning, and people didn't listen to those things, here we are. And we're at the point where is our country gone? And that's a big statement. Like, is America done? And it's literally hanging on by a thread. And Fulton Sheen even said before he died in the 1970s, he said, look, I'm very, very concerned that America's going to have a future. So here we are. And, you know, looking at what was this man's wisdom? You know, he knew he had the answers as much as he knew what the problems were. And so much of it had to do with a recalibration of our thinking, our philosophy, our way of life. And that's also why he did all that he did on the radio and then on television, was to help recalibrate a Christian philosophy of life for Americans. And then spiritually, he said, ultimately, we're up against something demonic. And so we have to have the spiritual forces and the power to be able to combat these things. And that's where he always turned his attention to, taking a daily holy hour, praying the rosary in your home every day as a family. And so, you know, there's so many different things you can, you know, we could say and talk about Fulton Sheen and dissecting all of that. But that's why, is that here we are in a leaderless culture. And even within the church, we have a leadership crisis. And people are looking for clarity of what the church teaches, clarity of how we're going to bring our country back to God. And Fulton Sheen was more than the St. Thomas Aquinas that of the medieval era. He knew St. Thomas inside and out. He takes St. Thomas and makes him relevant with all the other philosophies that we are facing. So I know that's a lot, but that's just the starter for why he's so important.
Well, we'll unpack all of those things, but let's start first with who Fulton Sheen is.
Well, he is venerable in the church's eyes. Technically, I mean, he's really blessed in the church's eyes. That he, his cause for canonization has already, you know, has been underway for quite some time, and a miracle has been approved. But if you want to go back to the historical Sheen, if that was the root of your question, he was born at the end of the 19th century in 1895, and so he really spanned the most critical years leading up to our times, up to 1979. And he was just an extraordinary young boy.
Yes.
You know, he grew up in the middle of nowhere, Illinois, in the sense, I mean, we're in Chicago, but, you know, El Paso, who would have known of El Paso, Illinois, and then moved to Peoria. So people had a reference of Peoria when he was kind of elementary school age. But he always had a passion for the intellectual life. But because he grew up as a farmer, as a child, in his youngest years out in El Paso, he didn't like it at all, but he said, thank God that he had that experience, because mm-hmm. he said it taught them the ethic of hard work. And he applied that then to all of the gifts that God gave him. And throughout his younger years, he just studied and studied. He said, I want to know what the world is thinking so I can respond to its errors. And, you know, he wasn't always considered a great orator. You know, when he was young, many people don't know the story of a priest who was a huge influence in his life. His name was Father Bergen. And, you know, he told Fulton Sheen when he was like in his later high school years and getting into his basically kind of preset seminary days, he joined the debate team. And he told Sheen that he was the worst debater he had ever heard. He was like, you're like the worst speaker I've heard. And you can imagine what that did to his ego.
Oh, my goodness gracious. And
yeah,
just his confidence. Who would have thought he'd go on to win 2 Emmys?
Well, exactly. But he learned the one thing that was the difference. Because Father Bergen didn't tell him. He just left it at that. And Sheen just ruminated over it, prayed over it. And then he said, look, I know what it is. And he came knocking on his door and he says, I have to truly be myself. I have to be natural. And he says, that's it. And so the natural Sheen that we all know is a very charismatic individual. You know, people, I mean, everything
yes.
he did, he was like an actor. But that was, Father Bergen was a huge influence. People don't realize, I mean, Sheen could have taken different tracks And if I can share one quick story on this, Sheen was in his college years, and he applied for this scholarship, a national scholarship, and only a few people got it. And it would pay basically all your education through your doctorate.
Wow.
And he won it. And he thought that was exactly what God wanted for him. And he ran over to Father Bergen, who was playing tennis. Says, Father, I won the scholarship. I won the scholarship. And he put his racket down, came over to him, and he says, and Sheen recounts this in his autobiography. Mm-hmm. And Father Bergen looks Sheen in the eyes. And he says, do you believe in God? And Sheen says, yes, of course I do. He's like, no. Not theoretically, but practically. Do you believe in God? And Sheen said that the way he asked that question, he began to guess, you know, double second guess himself. And then he said, I think I do. He says, okay. Then tear it up. And Sheen was like, what? Father, I put everything into this. This will pay for all of my dreams. I get my doctor. So he says, you are called to be a priest. He says, well, I can become a priest after I get these things, and then I can go to the seminary. He's like, no. God wants you now. Tear it up.
Wow.
And for Sheen, it was he said that, you know, our lives are defined by maybe two key moments, decisive moments in our life. And that was a huge one for him, and he tore it up, and he entered the seminary, and God provided for everything. As Father Bergen said, if you trust him now, he will provide for that and much more, and he did.
Praise God. Well, we're going into our first break, Dr. Howard, and we're looking forward to more stories when we return. I'm Loretta Frelick on Winds of Change, AM 750, with our guest, Dr. Peter Howard.
This is Catholic Schools Week, where in Catholic schools, where your child will learn faith, excellence, and service. Where it is possible, your child can take advantage of the excellence that is St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. Here is an update on the Fulton Sheen petition.
We Catholics stand just inches from the goal line to have the saint we desperately need now, Venerable Fulton Sheen, publicly declared blessed. Yet new obstacles keep arising to delay this from happening. The Diocese of Peoria is now requiring the unanimous support of the U.S. bishops behind the beatification of Fulton Sheen before a new date is set for the ceremonial mass. This has never been necessary in the Church's history. The Fulton Sheen Movement's petition drive to set a new date soon for Sheen's beatification mass now has 10,000 Catholics from around the world clamoring for this. We need this voice magnified by hundreds of thousands more Catholics. And you can help us do that. Take action. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com and sign the petition and share it everywhere, because everyone agrees we need Blessed Fulton Sheen now more than ever.
Bye now, and God love you.
I'm Loretta Frelick, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
Father Thomas Loya invites you to an experience of a lifetime. Join him, along with Father Andrew Somerset and Laura Iracci, for a Byzantine Catholic retreat and pilgrimage to Guadalupe, Mexico.
Saturday through Saturday, this April, the 20th through the 27th.
In honor of Our Lady of Guadalupe, this retreat and pilgrimage to Guadalupe, Mexico, is designed to offer you an experience of culture and faith, as well as moments for personal and community prayer in the Byzantine Catholic tradition. There you will be able to venerate the miraculous image of Our Lady's image on Blessed Juan Diego's tilma. For complete information and to register for the Byzantine Catholic retreat and pilgrimage to Guadalupe, Mexico,
Saturday through Saturday, this April 20th through the 27th,
visit the homepage of ByzantineCatholic.com.
That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Loretta Frelick, and we are talking to Dr. Peter Howard, president of the Fulton Sheen Institute, and we are just filling ourselves with the beautiful stories that he's sharing about Fulton Sheen. Now, he was incredibly educated. Is that true?
He was. That's probably an understatement.
I did use the word incredible.
Incredible is a pretty big word. Yes, he was. And it's interesting to preface that another little story is insightful, because when he was an altar boy in Peoria, he was going to the, it was called Bishop's, I forget actually the name of it, it's Bishop Spalding.
Yes.
But anyway, the bishop at that time was Bishop Spalding, and she recounts the story how he was celebrating Mass in the cathedral, and he dropped the glass cruet on the marble floor, and in his presence, and he said, "You know, there's no sound, no decimal loud enough to register a glass cruet hitting a marble floor," and he was petrified, you know, that the bishop could have stopped or gotten angry or embarrassed him, but the Mass simply went on. And then afterward, Bishop pulled him aside, and not even bringing that up, he says, "Where are you going to go to school?" And he says, "I'm going to go to Spalding Academy." Of course, it's the bishop's school.
Sure.
And he's like, "He says, well, one day you are going to go to the University of Louvain. Have you ever heard of that?" And he says, "No." And he says, "And then you will become just like me."
Wow.
And that was it. And Fulton Sheen said he forgot about that conversation until years later, after his seminary work. And then he went to Catholic University of America for his graduate degrees in canon law and theology. He was sent to the University of Louvain that had a very specialized school of philosophy that Fulton Sheen could only dream about attending. And he said the moment he stepped foot on there, he remembered what Bishop Spalding said to him during this prophetic moment.
Yes.
And so he ended up going, just kind of, you know, fast forwarding, he goes to the University of Louvain, and it had a very special institute of philosophy that was established by Cardinal Mercier, who was a very holy cardinal, who was very close in a certain sense to Fulton Sheen. And it was, this institute was studying all the modern philosophies and the modern sciences, everything that Sheen said was necessary, and then helping to then find the answers to these using St. Thomas Aquinas and the church. And so Sheen went there and he got his doctorate, and he did so well that he received a special invitation to take another exam. And we simply refer to it as a super doctorate, because it's like, what's beyond the doctorate?
Right.
But it was a degree called the agrégé, the French word agrégé in philosophy. In other words, if you pass this exam, you receive a special honor and an award to be aggregated into the philosophy faculty at the University of Louvain. Very prestigious. And so he studied a whole year for it, and that, he was in Rome during that time, and when he came back, and when he was in Rome, he says, "I read every single thing that St. Thomas Aquinas ever wrote."
Whoa.
In Latin. In Latin. He knew Latin so well that the joke was that he thought in Latin.
Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, he goes back and he takes this exam, and it's grueling. It's basically an all-day exam, 7 or 8 hours, and you're just going from professor to professor, and they grill you face-to-face oral examination. And you don't know how you did until that evening when they had a dinner. And you knew how you did depending on what you were served. So if you received water at dinner, you passed. If you received beer, you passed with distinction. If you received wine, you passed with higher distinction. And if you received champagne, you passed with the highest of all distinctions. And so he said, "The champagne never tasted so good as that evening."
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. And not only that, he had to write a book as part of this degree. And what he did is he wrote this book that became known as God and Philosophy. And it was his seminal work that really mapped out his entire course and how he would really repair a intellectually and morally wounded world. Of course, much later, that would become super, super relevant. So he was a very, very bright man, and he, you know, was all for the salvation of souls.
Wow. Now, you have said that discovering the secrets behind Fulton Sheen's unwavering faith is something important that we know. What are those secrets?
Well, the first one is the promise that he made the day of his ordination. And he was inspired by a story of a young girl who was a little Chinese girl who was really a martyr for the Eucharist. And I won't go through the whole story for lack of time, but she inspired Sheen so much, and that he adopted a practice that became his daily holy hour. And he said on the day of his ordination, you know, I promise two things to you, to our Lord, one to our Lord, one to our Blessed Mother. He said, I will offer Mass every Saturday in honor of our Blessed Mother to protect this priesthood. And the second one was to make a daily holy hour in front of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament in reparation for all of the evil that was in the world, and to also as what he called a sign of his own victimhood. And he made no bones about it when he said the power that he had to reach souls came exclusively from this holy hour. He said, you will get greater insights than you would in studying all the books of the world by just being on your knees. And so, and he prepared all of his telecasts in front of the Blessed Sacrament, everything he did. He had a little office, and it faced the Blessed Sacrament. And so that was the first of his major secrets. The second one was our Blessed Mother, where he, when he was dealing with some of the most difficult converts, he would always bring her up, no matter who it was, especially if the person was Catholic. Mm-hmm. And he was able to bring back even key communists that were falling away Catholics by through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. And he said, if you ever want to bring a soul back to God, he says, you just turn that soul over to Mary. And he did. He visited Lourdes, France, over 30 times, and so many powerful stories of how he would offer up suffering and sacrifices for the conversion of one soul. He said that's a prayer God will always answer. If you ask to suffer for a soul, he says, be prepared. And he's got some great stories in his autobiography, and if you listen to his talks of how God, how he played those out, but they're really, really powerful. So they're simple, but they're actually really profound, especially the daily holy hour, because that's something that he said, it's not just, 5 minutes or 10 minutes. He said, we need something that's difficult, something that's measured by time, and something that will never break, that can answer the evil that we have. And he says, that's it. So he kept to those things, and he says, that's my power. If you want power and power greater than mine, he says, you start there.
Wow. Well, I kind of think that's something that we can do. We do have a world that, as I like to say, is going to hell in a handbasket, and we've thrown away the handbasket. And I think you're absolutely right. Fulton Sheehan is the man for our times. And I'm looking for a quote that John Paul II had about him when he met John Paul II.
Yes.
Tell us that quote.
Sure. Well, if you're referring to October 1979, when he met him in St. Patrick's Cathedral, it's the famous quote. It's also right in the cover of my book, where I had this powerful picture of the two embracing 2 months before Fulton Sheen would die.
Yes.
And during this embrace, John Paul II, he kind of whispers in Fulton Sheen's ear. He says, you have written and spoken well of the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
You are a loyal son of the church. And there were no words greater that Sheen could have ever prayed for as a validation of every single thing that he gave to our Lord and the church throughout his life than to hear it from this man, this Pope, who he prophesied in his own autobiography would be known as one of the greatest popes, if not the greatest pope the church would ever have.
Wow. Well, Fulton Sheehan and Pope John Paul II have a real special place in my heart and in my prayer and faith life. And I just, to combine both of them like that in the one, you know, embrace and the prophetic words, it is very powerful. And we're going to hear more. I just love stories. We're going to hear more of this when we return. But I want to hear about what happened when he came to New York And I am Loretta Freilich on the Winds of Change, AM 750, with our guest, Dr. Peter Howard.
This is Catholic Schools Week, where in Catholic schools, where your child will learn faith, excellence, and service. Where it is possible, your child can take advantage of the excellence that is St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org. Here is an update on the Fulton Sheen petition.
We Catholics stand just inches from the goal line to have the saint we desperately need now, Venerable Fulton Sheen, publicly declared blessed. Yet new obstacles keep arising to delay this from happening. The Diocese of Peoria is now requiring the unanimous support of the U.S. bishops behind the beatification of Fulton Sheen before a new date is set for the ceremonial Mass. This has never been necessary in the Church's history. The Fulton Sheen Movement's petition drive to set a new date soon for Sheen's beatification Mass now has 10,000 Catholics from around the world clamoring for this. We need this voice magnified by hundreds of thousands more Catholics. And you can help us do that. Take action. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com and sign the petition and share it everywhere, because everyone agrees we need Blessed Fulton Sheen now more than ever.
Bye now, and God love you.
Well, welcome back. We are talking to Dr. Peter Howard about Fulton Sheen and his cause for canonization. And I just want to read this one endorsement because it comes from Chris Stefanik from Real Life Catholic Reboot Event. And anyone who works with young people knows what a blessing Chris Stefanik is with his chosen products out of Ascension Press. And I do the confirmation prep at my parish, so that is what we use. And Chris, you know, he has authored books on joy, and he's somebody who knows God. So Chris writes, Fulton Sheen isn't done with us yet. His life and message show us that life is worth living. His beatification is a powerful moment of grace and a call from God to relook at his work. And there's no better man than Peter Howard to help your people tap into this movement. He's the expert on Sheen and more, how to apply his message to life today. So tell us about this movement that you have started in order to move the cause for canonization forward.
Sure, thank you. Well, first thing, everyone can get immediate access to more about it and the heart of what we're doing by going to FultonSheenMovement.com. Very simple, FultonSheenMovement.com. And this movement really, it came out of a great need last spring. Just getting on Easter was coming around and looking at all that was going on in the world, and of course the Sheen cause, and realizing that just like the PSA you just played in between, you know, we're inches from the goal line of Sheen's beatification, and many don't realize that. They think that there's something else that needs to be done, but there really isn't. And it was just as if, like, this thing never existed. It was just totally shelved. And so, you know, talking to my wife and really praying about it, I was like, we need to do something about this. And so we started the movement. And it was the first thing we did is we created a petition to give people some background of where the cause for canonization is at, and the facts that are there, as well as to invite them to be a part of this. By praying for his beatification Mass to be rescheduled, because it was originally scheduled, 4 years ago, mm-hmm. 2019, and very few people knew what happened, and they still don't even really know what happened. And so we're like, well, let's, we got to draw attention to this, and let's also show the church, especially the Diocese of Peoria, to that one, that we have their back in this. Like, they worked so hard to make this, and yet these, and there were obstacles, apparent obstacles that were put in the way. But now we all know, even with the admission of the Diocese of Peoria, that there really are no obstacles other than, seriously, I hate to use the word, but like politicking about this, because it's all out in the open. And I always recommend people go to the August 24 interview with Raymond Arroyo. So anyway, the movement is uniting Catholics who love Sheen from all around the world. For example, we're doing this tomorrow night. We're having a live YouTube an interview between this enormous Fulton Sheen movement going on in the country of Brazil.
Wow.
And so we're like, hey, let's do that. So we're going to be going on our YouTube channel, Fulton Sheen. That's at Fulton Sheen Institute YouTube channel. That's 6 o'clock Eastern time, so that's 4 o'clock Central. And we're going to go back and forth with a translator between Portuguese and English. And so the world loves Sheen. There are millions and millions and millions of people. And Sheen said something that really was the ultimate catalyst. And he says, who is going to save the church? And he said, it's not going to be us bishops or priests or even the religious. He says, it's going to be you, the people, the laity. And he says, you have the eyes, the ears, and the minds to save the church. And, you know, then he has a follow-up. He says, and it's your responsibility to make sure that your priests act like priests and your bishops act like bishops. And all of that combined together was like, wow, that's, nobody really wants to be in that kind of a position. But you know what? We have to, because this will never go anywhere unless this movement really gets a massive fire behind it. This is sort of unprecedented that a miracle has been declared for Fulton Sheen.
Tell us about that miracle.
Sure. The miracle is with a family out of Peoria, Illinois. And this was, I forget the exact year, it was a 2011, 2000, right around that time. And baby was born. This is the Engstrom family. a little boy was born without a heartbeat for 61 minutes. And so, you know, clinically, the baby would be dead. And so the baby really, in that sense, was dead. But they didn't give up. And they, the family, and there was a priest there, and they prayed, and they asked the intercession of Venerable Fulton Sheen. And when they did, all of a sudden, literally, the baby was resurrected back to life.
Praise God.
And I know. So, and there were no side effects. I mean, you can imagine the worries of me not having oxygen going to the brain, serious brain damage or other organ problems, a total clean bill of health. And so anyway, this was, you know, Sheen's first miracle, approved miracle, is a resurrection account. And in 2019, Pope Francis signed the decree approving it, which paved the way. All they had to do was then have the Mass for his beatification. And they scheduled it. His niece was alive at the time, Joan Cunningham, who fought to have his body moved back to Peoria. And next thing you know, it got iced with no explanation just a couple weeks before. And so it's a big deal. I mean, there's a miracle that would inspire, I mean, potentially hundreds of millions of people, Catholics around the world, even non-Catholics, when they discover this man and the power of his intercession.
Yes.
That's why this is egregious, why this is being paused, especially when they say, in the Raymond Arroyo interview, where they said, Rome is not the problem, because Raymond asked, it was Monsignor Gray, who's the head of the foundation. Mm-hmm. He says, well, what's kind of going on in Rome? And Monsignor said, well, Rome is not the problem. He said, they're totally fine with this. He says, the problem's on this side of the pond. So the moment that is said, it's basically saying, well, then everybody needs to get out of the way. You guys can deal with your things, whatever the problems or politics are, right. But give the church its blessed, because it's almost, I get passionate about this because it's also a statement about the communion of saints.
Yes.
You know, I was like, well, we don't. Well, it may take 10 years to smooth out. You know, we want to have the unanimous support of all the bishops. Well, when are you going to get that? That came out of nowhere. Where are you going to get that about anything?
Right.
You know?
Yes.
So anyway, so that was a new obstacle that was thrown at the very end of the interview. Everybody thought that, like, oh my gosh, it was wonderful. They're like, oh, let's get this happening. I said, no, that actually added something because before it was all about this report coming out of New York. So the whole movement has been helping to create a fire for Sheen, why he's so important, what his wisdom is, getting people to take a daily holy hour. I mean, this Lent, we're going to be really having a focus on that, a spiritual pilgrimage with Fulton Sheen this Lent. There's going to be, go to Fulton Sheen Institute.com, and you'll have an opportunity to sign up. You can also go to the Fulton Sheen Movement page, and you can sign up for daily reflections with Fulton Sheen. Also, the challenge to make a daily holy hour every single day. You can do that for Lent. Even if you can't make it to a church, you can do it at home. Pray the rosary every day. You're going to have all these things inspiring you. So people are, you know, she needs to be known for the greatness that wasn't even acknowledged before. Now, as we see in the darkness of our times, that light and the hope and the clarity and the gift that everything that he brings to the church right now is really immeasurable. So the movement is all about that. And then ultimately, we want to bring this to the attention of the Diocese of Peoria because they've really kind of admitted that they're the ones who are kind of holding this up because they could insist on having a date. And if Rome doesn't have a problem, they could have a date set by Easter if they wanted.
Praise God. Well, I would like us to explore Fulton Sheen Day when we come back from our next break. I'm Loretta Frelick with Dr. Peter Howard discussing Fulton Sheen on Winds of Change, AM 750.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Loretta Frelick, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Father Thomas Loya invites you to an experience of a lifetime. Join him, along with Father Andrew Somerset and Laura Iracci, for a Byzantine Catholic retreat and pilgrimage to Guadalupe, Mexico.
Saturday through Saturday, this April, the 20th through the 27th.
In honor of Our Lady of Guadalupe, this retreat and pilgrimage to Guadalupe, Mexico is designed to offer you an experience of culture and faith, as well as moments for personal and community prayer in the Byzantine Catholic tradition. There you will be able to venerate the miraculous image of Our Lady's image on Blessed Juan Diego's Tilma. For complete information and to register for the Byzantine Catholic retreat and pilgrimage to Guadalupe, Mexico,
Saturday through Saturday, this April 20th through the 27th.
Visit the homepage of ByzantineCatholic.com.
That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
Welcome back. I'm Loretta Frelick talking to Dr. Peter Howard, and we're talking now about Fulton Sheen Day. Can you tell us what's going to happen on Saturday, February 24th, 2024, up at the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe at Marytown?
Yes. Thank you, Loretta. I'm really excited about this. I've wanted to go there forever, and I've been to Chicago many times, and I love St. Maximilian Kolbe. He was like the predecessor with St. John Paul II to
yes.
my being introduced to Sheen. So
wow.
On this day, it's a 1 day retreat. We're going to have 3 talks, and there's limited space. So I hope that people can go and pack it because I know that they're getting close to capacity already. It's going to be 3 talks beginning in the morning and going into the afternoon. followed by time of adoration. We'll have Mass and prayer at Marytown. So hopefully the listeners know where that is. Just plug it in your phone, but it's right there, kind of in your backyard. And we'll be talking about really three main components of Sheen. We're talking about Sheen as a prophet for our times. We're going to be talking about that secret of his, of the holy hour, go really a deep dive into that, why that's so significant, the biblical foundations, and so many other things that will, I think will ignite a flame, not just for the love of our Lord in the Eucharist, but particularly for a daily holy hour. And then we'll be talking about Sheen and our Blessed Mother. And it's all going to be in the context of what we're experiencing now so that we can leave that day with great hope. And, of course, I'm going to tie in Maximilian Kolbe because he is another one like John Paul II. Those three are very, very similar in their formation and in their spirituality and in their mission.
Wow. Well, now you are also the author of The Woman, Mary, as a Mediatrix in the Teaching of Fulton J. Sheen. And this book has been called the authoritative book on Sheen's Marianology. So how is it you came to write that book as well?
Sure. Well, that book really is the fruit of all the research that I did and that went into my doctorate dissertation. Mary and Sheen have always been my great passions. And with Fulton Sheen, like, say, Maximilian Kolbe, they both saw and acknowledged publicly that there's one more dogma that should be proclaimed about our Blessed Mother that will bring all the other dogmas and all the teachings of Mary together, and that is Mary is Mediatrix of all graces. And so this has been up, within the last 20, 30 years especially, there's been a movement to do this, and I've had a passion. I wrote so many other things during my studies in Rome on this subject, and with Fulton Sheen, I said, what can he contribute to this entire conversation? And that was really the impetus behind this book. And I think it presents the mystery of Mary in a way that probably nobody has really heard before. And it's such a beautiful deep dive, and it's very biblical. I've had non-Catholics see it. I've had converts read it, bishops read it, and get their feedback. And thanks be to God, it's been overwhelmingly positive. So it really is the heart. And I think it's more relevant now than even when I wrote it. So like everything, like Sheen and this subject, if you really want to rediscover Mary and add things to your meditation in the rosary, I really think this is a great place to start. And this book's going to be available, too, at the retreat for those who are there.
Terrific. So if people want to register for the few spaces left, they can go online to kolbeshrine.org/Fulton-Sheen-Day, or they can call 847-367-7800. I am going to see you there, Dr. Howard.
Great.
Oh, my gosh. This is all so exciting. Now, if you had to pick your favorite, and I won't hold you to one, but maybe three quotes of Fulton Sheen's, what would they be?
Oh, gosh. I struggle with this so often. Well, this one is probably the top of my list. Unless souls are saved, nothing is saved. There cannot be world peace without first having interior peace. And so I love that because it really is at the very heart of Fulton Sheen and why he did every single thing that he did. And it's really why we do what we do in the movement and in the Fulton Sheen Institute. So that's a big one. Let's see. I had another one. This one kind of came recently, sharing with a friend of mine. He's another big Sheen man. We owe a lot of our debt for Sheen is Terry Barber out in California. He sent me this, and it really resonates, because responsibility is a big thing, a problem that we have today. And,
right.
And he says this, and Sheen says this, truth brings with it great responsibilities. That is why so many men keep their hands open to welcome it, but never close them to grasp it. In their cowardice, they keep their minds open, so they will never have to close on anything that would entail responsibility, duty, moral correction, or altered behavior. It's like, wow. And maybe that might not be an all-time favorite, but and I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, how true is that?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yes, yes. He has so many. Another short one that applies to our times is, I don't know if I remember the exact words, but
that's okay.
If we there's basically two ways of living your life, and that is first to either conform our lives to principles, or conform principles to serve our lives. In other words, he says that either we will think as we live, or we will live as we think.
Amen.
In other words, yeah, I think you understand what he means by
absolutely.
That.
Is that, and
I come across that with so many people who want to kind of excuse and dismiss things of responsibility and truth. And the farther we are away from God, we without even realizing it, we start justifying our perverted way of thinking, and it leads to destruction. So, gosh, there's a lot of other ones. I guess those were just kind of on my mind recently as I'm reflecting on things.
Well, you could include those on Saturday, February 24th, very easily.
Well, yeah, there will be a lot. There will be a lot. That's always the challenge machine, is that there are endless quotes.
Yes.
Goodness. Let's see. There's one I really love about the Eucharist. I'm sure I can remember it. He says, "Imagine what it would mean to the peace of the world if all of the 43,000 priests made a daily holy hour before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament." He says, "If you really want to have peace, that's where you need to start." He says, and not only that, he says, "How much happier will the moment of death be for these souls to do that?" And I think that that's critical. That's why the Holy Hour is so important. Everybody can do it. You don't have to read every single thing that Sheen wrote. If you're looking for insights, unique insights, God speaking to you, he says, then do this. You will get greater insights than people with PhDs in theology.
So, amen.
You know, it all comes back to the basics. Like he says, like we in the end of life, we're all called to be children. We're the reverse. We age physically, but spiritually we get younger, and we have to, otherwise we can't enter heaven.
Wow. That was...
That's... I'm reading a whole bunch of stuff right now. It's just, I'm reading a book with him and St. Therese. I want to do a retreat now around the country on Sheen and St. Therese. This is one of the best books I've ever read, and I've only skimmed through it in the past. Now I'm doing a deep dive, and oh my goodness, it is blowing me away. So maybe we'll save that for another time.
Oh, please. And I hope you'll come back on the show and tell us all about
Anytime.
Oh, my gosh. I really have to say, I used to have, we had a prayer group, and I would come home from it. It was on Saturday night, and I would drive home from the city of Chicago, and my radio station would have the old It's a Wonderful Life, or Life is Worth Living, radio shows that they would have on replay. And I'm telling you, I would look forward to getting into the car. And, you know, his words resonate with you, just like you're saying, even as a man for the times right now. They haven't gotten old. They've only gotten more profound.
Exactly. Wisdom is timeless.
And yes, there you go.
Says, it's like Sheen says, you know, the church is beyond time. So, you know, as the world gets crazier and crazier, he's such a great voice to anchor us in. He's such a perfect example of how to live our lives spiritually when you're looking for concrete ways to live these things.
Yes.
I always tell people he is like he incarnated in his priesthood in every aspect of his life the message of Fatima, of adoration, reparation for sins, daily rosary and consecration to Mary, which is like the heart of the message. That was in Fulton Sheen. So if you want to know how to live it heroically, there it is. And the heroic isn't necessarily complicated. It's simple,
right.
but it's challenging. So I always draw people to the spiritual things. And if somebody really wants to have a big kickstart outside of Lent, when we have our big Sheen spiritual pilgrimage, which I hope everybody will sign up for, is you put this on your calendar, because I know we're getting short on time.
That's
this
okay.
September this September 10th to the 21st, we're having a Fulton Sheen Marian Eucharistic Pilgrimage. We're going to be doing the whole modern era of the story of Mary in the life of Sheen and the signs of our times, starting from St. Therese of Lisieux to Paris, Rue de Bac, to Lourdes, France, to Guadalupe, Spain. Everybody, I could talk about that forever, why that's so important. And then we go to Fatima after that. It's going to be unbelievable, especially during these times where people are afraid to travel. I'm like, well, if you're going to make a trip, this is the one to do it.
Wow. You mean you're literally going to those places, not figuratively?
We are going to be going there and actually seeing how they connect the dots for all of us today, trying to understand our times. And we're going to be using Fulton Sheen. We're going to be making our daily holy hour. We're going to be at the places that he was at as well. And he has such a love for St. Therese. We actually kick it off there. It's going to be unbelievable. I hope that, I mean, we already have a number of people who have signed up, but, you know, I'd love to see at least a bus or two get filled, because this, as times get more challenging, you know, we want this off of our bucket list. This will change your life.
Praise God. And where can we find out more about that?
Yes, just go to FultonSheenMovement.com. Go to our events page.
Okay.
And it's right there, as well as the Marytown Retreat.
Well, we will include those in our show page when we are done today. And it has been our privilege to talk to you today. Dr. Howard, you are just so full of life and joy. And it must emanate from living the life that Fulton Sheen advised us all to do. And so there are all those things. Come to Fulton Sheen Day. This Lent, commit to doing that holy hour every day. I love what Fulton Sheen says about the power that emanates from the Eucharist and how you will be wiser than PhD and doctoral candidates when you are engaged with the source of all knowledge of Jesus in the Eucharist in adoration. And so I'm going to give you the last word here, Dr. Howard. What do you want us to know the most about Fulton Sheen?
He was truly the servant of all, and in the end, he was like a little child. And I think that that's something that's important for us in these times of anxiety and fear, is to remember the fact that he discovered the greatest secrets, and those are given to us in whispers.
Well, thank you so much, Doctor. That's all we have for today. I hope you'll come back. God bless you.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed.